Amen for that. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that so very much. And I know that many of you haven't had conversations with Brother Scotty like I have, but he loves the Lord, loves the book, and serves the Lord. And he's also a talented man in other avenues as well, but God is using him in great ways, and I'm thankful for that. Well, I wanted to just share a couple of things with you. My mind has gone in different directions. I know where I'd like to end up here in the next few moments, but I just want to share one quick thing with you. I don't like to harp on the book that many of us are going through, but it's been such a blessing, and today is no exception about Solomon, and if you happen to be on the same one that I am. And just the fact this prayer principle, prayer affords the child of God the opportunity to experience God's presence, His glory, or the essence of His being, produces a life of reverence, commitment, and adoration. It is prayer that gives way to such holy experience. And we can't say too much good about prayer. It's not possible to brag on it too much, if you want to look at it that way, because it is the way that we commune with the Lord. We hear from Him out of His Word, which has been referenced tonight, and then we speak to Him in prayer. And that communion that we have is so vital to our walk with the Lord. And so I hope that you're enjoying that book as much as I am. Would you look in Matthew chapter 28? I challenge you Sunday to be looking at these resurrection passages, and I just want to, as a corporate body, go through just a few of them as we look forward to this Sunday. Now, you know that there are people who argue back and forth about the day and all of the week, and as Jesus said, as Jonas was in the belly of the earth 3 days, and so must the Son of Man be in the belly of the earth 3 days and three nights. And so you can extrapolate that all the way back. And we're not going to teach on that tonight, but I believe the scripture all the way through when Jesus said that's the way it would be. But I do know that when we get to Matthew chapter 28 rather, and we see the resurrection when they're coming that way, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. Behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. The angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not, ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, Come and see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. If you'd see that, now look over in Mark chapter number 16. Let your fingers do the walk and go to the right toward the end of the book of Mark. Chapter number 16. Most everybody in the room knows that the Gospels are four accounts of the same happenings. It took me a while as a young child and Christian, even for that matter, even later, but to figure out, well, why all of the, what the four books were in a row for, but God gave them to these men to write so that we would get different vantage points of them, but all inspired Word of God. Verse 1 of Mark 16, And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said amongst themselves, Who shall roll the stone away from the door of the sepulchre? Can I just say as a little side note, a lot of things we worry about, we're just wasting our time worrying about it. They were thinking, how are we going to get that stone out of the way? God was going to take care of that. Jesus Christ is going to be raised from the dead. You think rolling a little stone out of the way was any trouble for him? Not at all. That's just a little side note. We worry about things that oftentimes aren't even necessary. Verse 4, And when they looked they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, Be not affrighted, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen, he is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him, as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. In Luke, we'll look at the other two while we've got just a few more moments. Luke chapter 24. Now upon the first day of the week, verse 1, very early in the morning they came. They came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. They found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember, I spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered unto the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and the Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran into the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. Well, we'll finish up with John. John chapter 20. Then the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark unto the sepulchre and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon and the other disciple whom Jesus loved, that was John, and saith unto him, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they've laid him. Peter therefore went forth and that other disciple and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself, then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. I just want to dwell on those passages for a little bit. This is such a wonderful, wonderful time. We get to think about it all week and get to embrace the power of the resurrection. Most of the people in this room, you don't have to accept the resurrection. You've already done that. You've already known there's a resurrection Christ, and you've got your faith placed in him that is settled. But that's not the last time we need to dwell on the resurrection. We need to dwell on it again and again because it's the power of God. It's the strength in our lives because it is the difference. Somebody mentioned tonight already about religions being religions of fear. You better do this or God's going to get mad at you and take it out on your family. We understand the wrath of God was already taken out on his son. The problems that God had with you, with me, he took out on the lovely son of God, his own son, Jesus Christ. And so we don't have a God that says we're going to come upon you with wrath. Unless, of course, we choose to ignore and reject his son, and then our sins are still our responsibility. But his invitation is, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they should be white as snow, because the wrath of God was satisfied when Jesus Christ went to the cross. And then, of course, the cross is the symbol of that sacrifice, but the empty tomb is the symbol of victory, that the sacrifice was accepted. And the whole equation, the whole transaction was done. And that's what we get to celebrate. I'd like for you to pray about a few things as we go to prayer. I'd like for you to pray about this Resurrection Sunday, the weather. If it rains, God's will be done. But I'm asking for it not to. Asking you to pray for attendance, that God would give us a wonderful crowd, 9 and 11, both services, and the 7 o'clock sunrise service as well. If weather isn't pleasant, it'll be right here. But a good crowd then as well. You say, what does it matter about how many? It doesn't matter about how many, except that is that many people that hear the message. So am I ashamed to ask for a big crowd? Not on your life. I'm not ashamed. I want a big crowd on both the 9 o'clock and the 11 o'clock service and the 7 o'clock for that matter. So pray for the attendance, and then pray for the gospel to lodge in the hearts of people as they're coming here. Pray that the Lord would just convict the hearts of people who need to be saved. They would just deal thoroughly with them and show them their need. I'm not going to get up here, and I don't want to get up here and just tell everybody that Jesus will make their life so much better if only you will take him as your Savior. He will make their life better. But the message needs to go across that Jesus wants to save you from your sins. The resurrected Christ came to pay for our sin debt, not to give us better houses and better relationships and better marriages and better self-image. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. So pray for the gospel. And then pray for those that are backslidden, because this is a great Sunday for people to come who aren't right with God, but they'll come a Sunday or two a year. This is one of them. So pray for the backslidden that are God's. There are God's children, but they're away from him. Pray that God would convict him and chasten him and get him back where he wants him to be. So please, as we go to prayer, my invitation is this. If you're here tonight and the resurrection passages that I read, that really spoke to you because you realize that you've never received that resurrected Christ as your Savior, or maybe you found yourself like Brother Scotty. There's a point in your life where you were closer to the Lord than you are currently. And that time in his life when he wasn't as fervently seeking the Lord, he got right with God. Maybe you need to do the same. Maybe something that Brother Yoder has given you has made you think that you need to do some business with the Lord. So our invitation is this. If you're here, you're not sure that you're saved. Oh, please get saved. If you're here and you're saved, would you please pray tonight for one of those aspects for our Resurrection Sunday? Ladies, would you come to the piano and the organ and play something for us? And we'll just close our service in prayer, asking the Lord to bless us, but I'll be down here for our invitation time first. If God's speaking to your heart, I invite you to come. If you're able to, stand together, and maybe you'd like to come and pray at the altar for Sunday services, Resurrection Sunday. Pray that somebody would get saved. Pray that some of your visitors would come with you. Pray that a neighbor would come and sit by you in church. Pray that a coworker would be here. Would you slip out and come and just pray for God to do a great work this Sunday morning? And if you're here tonight, not sure you're saved, my friend, step out and come. Let me show you how the Bible says you can be saved by Jesus Christ. Will you stay up here and close us in prayer? thank you. You may look this way. Well, I'm going to ask Brother Rick Hall. He's going to come up the pulpit here and dismiss us in prayer. But I invite, challenge you to get some of these invite cards, gospel message on the back, inviting people to Easter Sunday. We'll have that outreach on Saturday, 9:30. We'll have a great breakfast. Then we'll go out. If you can come give us a half hour or so, we'll send you to a place and you can just go knock on doors, invite people. Or maybe you've already got your spot. You want to come eat breakfast before you go. Then after that, it's hard to go to one event at before because the next one, the first one is before it. But after Easter, we've got our revival coming up the next week, I think, yeah, or 2 weeks after that on the 13th, 14th, 15th of April. And we are looking forward to a great time. Be praying about that. But if you can help for the nursery ladies, one night of the three, there's a sign-up sheet in the lobby. If you can help, if you're on the safety team and you can help for the patrol on one of the three nights and then just be here one of the other nights and whatnot, then there's a sign-up sheet back there as well. That'll just help us if we spread it all out. If you can serve one and then be here for the other services, we'd certainly appreciate that. But those invite cards are back there. And then I thought, Amy, I got one last book up here. If anybody needs our prayer book, I found one I've been using as the example to show. So if you've been wanting to buy one for somebody, you can see Amy and she'll have it with her. Brother Rick, come pray for us. Amy and I'll be back in the back. If you need anything, we're certainly glad to help.
Father, we thank you for this privilege we have to be in your house tonight. We thank you for the message that we've heard, the testimonies, and as we prepare for this Resurrection Sunday, I pray you'll touch your hearts and minds to be receptive to the priest's word. And our focus will be on the empty tomb, Father, a victory over the grave. And we thank and we praise you for the blessings you sent our way this week and what's to come. In Jesus' name, amen.